T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Patriots Friday on Sports Radio WEEI. Patriots Friday is presented in part by Toyota's official website for deals, buyatoyota.com.
By Putnam Investments, proud Patriots partners, committed to an active game plan on the field and off.
And by AdCare. If you're struggling with alcohol, AdCare can help. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL.
This hour is brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Black Friday sales event.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, it's Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF today. If you want to join us, the number to do so, 617-779-7937. Cam Newton on the table for the next 2 hours as well. Do you want him back in 2021? Do you agree with Wiggy and I that they need to draft a quarterback in the first round? Wiggy, I wanted to get into Brady for a second here, though, because, man, this Arians-Brady thing has gotten ugly very, very quickly there. And last game, I mean, that was horrible. Brady right now, he's 0 for 22 for his last passes over 20 yards. It's just remarkable to watch how right. That thing's come undone. And, Wiggy, when I look at that roster, right, like, they're loaded. They should be the team that is atop the NFC with the defense they have with David and with Devin White and then all the right. Weapons they have offensively. Like, them being 7-4 is a joke.
Right. Chris Curtis and I argue about it every morning, because when you looked at, you know, when you were going into this season and we were just, you know, we're watching Brady and we're watching Bill, I think there were a lot of people that probably predicted the Patriots to win 4 games, 5 games, 6 games. You know, there weren't many people on the train like myself that would say, all right, they could win 10 games, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would look at and go, all right, the Patriots are right where we expected them to be. When you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think most people were looking at them to be like, you know, myself included, 12-4, 13-3, one of the best teams in not just football, but in the NFC. When you look at this football team, do they look like a Super Bowl caliber football team?
No, not right. At all. They looked poorly coached, Wiggy. And here's the thing that I would ask you is, and somebody that played with Tom Brady. So Tom Brady is the best in the history of the sport at the short and intermediate passing game, right? I mean, is that even disputable? Him and Drew Brees, maybe?
No, I would say Brady's probably the best to ever do it.
Okay, so why the hell do you have Tom Brady catering to your offense, which Bruce Arians, no risk it, no biscuit, which is just crap. I mean, he's got one playoff win, and it's so simplistic. It's, okay, our good is going to try to beat your good. There's nothing to it. I mean, you look at the great offensive minds, the Kyle Shanahans, the Sean McVays. Look at all the motion that's in their offense. Look at all the eye candy before they snap the ball. So now Brady's offense, you don't have that advantage. You don't have anything that's confusing the defense. And secondly, you're asking him to be good at the area of his game where he's never been the best in the league at. Instead, you're taking that off the table. See, even his short passing game, it's not even routes, Wiggy. He's just checking it down to Leonard Fournette, who's never been a receiver in his life. And I know he had right. A bunch of catches last year, but the offense is just so dumb. Everybody's running down the field, and if nobody's open, Brady's going to check it down. Or the reason he's throwing all these interceptions, he's throwing it into traffic all the time. But that's the offense. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's simple. And I played in the NFL for a long time. And what happens is this, right? There are good coaches who say, we're going to call a type of offense or defense or whatever this player does well, we're going to build our offense or defense around what they do well. And that's what the good coaches do. And I've played for a lot of dumb coaches that a lot of these dumb coaches will say, here's what my offense is. You need to now fit in it. you need to run between the tackles, even though that's not what I do, but you want to fit me between the tackles. Whereas other coaches, and Belichick does a good job of it, you know, he's not going to ask James White to run in between the tackles.
Right.
He's gonna put James White in a position where he can excel. The same way with, you know, every other player. And I think that's the difference with Bruce Arians. And there are a lot of coaches out there, and I've played for coaches like that, where it ain't about you as the player, and I don't care. We're talking about the greatest quarterback of all time. It's not about you. It's about my system, and this is how we do things around here. You have to fit to my system because this is what's worked for me in the past, rather than saying, okay, let me build my offense around what Tom Brady does well. Short to intermediate, spread people out, empty personnel, guys running quick 5 yards out, crossing routes, you know, those type of things. Let's build our offense that way. And every blue moon will take a shot downfield just to keep me satisfied as a coach. But for the most part, don't worry, Tom. We're not gonna try to throw the ball deep down the field. And that's what you're seeing. But you're seeing a coach that has no real understanding how to, you know, coach a player of Brady's caliber, which is a mind-boggling to me that he would have Tom in a position like this. And that's going to be the reason when you talk about this team that probably won't win a championship is because of what your coach is and how your coach is not able to adapt and evolve.
Yeah, the guy's a complete buffoon. He's all about himself, too. I mean, the whole Kangol hat, like, he bringing more attention to himself. I mean, that's ridiculous. He's got all his dumbass slogans, which are stupid, obviously.
Yeah, I don't care
Wiggy,
about
who's
all that stuff.
Who's the dumbest coach, though, that you say you play for a lot of dumb coaches? Who is the dumbest?
Brad Childress wasn't very bright. He was one of those coaches that were like that. It's like, I'm from this Bill Walsh, Andy Reid, Mike Holmgren offense. This is how it's done. We've had, you know, like, this is the success. This is how we do things. No, you also had, like, guys like Jerry Rice, you know, Joe Montana.
Yeah, there's a reason you were good.
Right, so you have to say, okay, what do I have, and how do I fit my talent into this offense and evolve it a little bit where I can, you know, where I can utilize what these guys do well and their skill set and put them in those positions to make sure that we can be successful. And that's what you're not seeing with Bruce Arians. And that's why it's going to be, you know, that's why you're going to see a team with all that talent. And I'd be surprised if they got past the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, and the road is going to be especially difficult if they want to make a run. They got to go on the road three times. No chance they're getting to the Super Bowl now. When I look at Brady, though, and when I look at Bruce Arians, I liken it to the Peyton Manning situation in Denver. When Peyton went to Denver, Mike McCoy tried to run his offense for like three games, and then he said, you know what, this whole thing with you, Peyton, you were a four-time MVP before you came here. Maybe we should just run your offense. They ran his offense, and you know, he won another MVP there. He broke Tom Brady's record because they said, oh, maybe we should listen to, at that time, one of the greatest players to ever play the sport instead of making us fit to him. It doesn't make any sense. It's not as if Bruce Arians has this incredible resume. Tom Brady's the one with the rings. Tom Brady's the one with the success. So you should be taking advantage of what he does well, to your point. And the other thing I would say is this, Wiggy. This is getting to the point now where I've said for weeks that, you know, Bruce Arians, he's not going to be the coach of the team anymore. Tom Brady's running the team in terms of next season. The guy I think is going to be the coach there, and because I don't think he's going to have another market, is Josh McDaniels, because Josh McDaniels can be Brady's puppet, essentially, and just do whatever Brady tells him to do. But more importantly now, I think it's going to look ugly against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs are just a juggernaut. They're going to kill the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I believe Brady's got to kneecap them in the season. If they want any chance to win in the postseason, Brady's got to kneecap them now, or else this is going to be an ugly finish for Tampa Bay. I think he's got to get rid of them now and have Todd Bowles be the head coach and let Brady run the offense.
Yeah, I mean, I do not disagree with you one bit. I think that would be – because you're not going to go – because their relationship already is just, you know, when the head coach is calling out his star quarterback and he's throwing him under the bus and he's telling him he can't read coverages, or, you know, he's not throwing it to this guy. And when you start to see that Brady is now forcing balls just so it almost looks like to keep Bruce Arians happy, which is then leading to them losing games because they're turnovers. And, you know, when you think about that, Brady can't be happy with that. A guy that is so meticulous and is always prepared and hates to turn the football over and hates to do things that don't make sense. But yet you got this guy throwing the ball deep downfield when that's something that, you know, we knew him here. He wasn't the deep ball thrower down the field. And now he's throwing. I mean, think about that stat you said. It was what? He's 0-22 or 1-21. I remember seeing somewhere of passes longer than 20 yards downfield. And I mean, and that's all because your head coach isn't willing to go, here, let's change the offense to suit you and what you do well.
And you know what's amazing, Wiggy? So his numbers last year throwing the deep ball, they're significantly better than they are this year. And that's Bruce Arians' offense, right? Because Josh McDaniels, and we can criticize him for some of the play calling this year, but he draws up shot plays. He takes shots after you run it a couple of times. Oh, some play action. I'm going to bite up. And that's when you take the shot down the football field. They're actually schemed into the offense rather than, hey, everybody just go deep. And this is what Bruce Arians likes to do. No risk it, no biscuit. Throw it into double coverage all the time. And I'm not defending Brady for the other night because there's no defending the Cameron Brate. The interception, he's looking for Brady. It goes to Jordan Fuller for the second time of the game. I'm not defending his performance the other night, but the offense just makes no sense whatsoever. And what baffles me, Wiggy, is I don't know how a person can have such a big ego and be so bullheaded to the point where he can't acknowledge that his offense doesn't work with one particular player. Like, nobody's going to criticize Bruce Arians if he changes his offense for Tom Brady. It's just so weird to me that he has that big of an ego when he hasn't accomplished that much. You won a Super Bowl as an offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers because their defense was great. It wasn't because of you, Bruce Arians. As a coach, you've won one playoff game. So I just don't understand how his ego can be this big.
I told you, that's just the way there are coaches like that. Their egos get in the way, and their egos ultimately are the reason why they can't be good as coaches. Because, you know, you see, we talked about it with Billy O'Brien, right? The ego of him going, oh, I can coach and be the GM. Well,
right.
maybe you can't do both. You know, maybe you put your ego to the side and go, you know, maybe it's better for somebody else to do that part, and I focus on what I need to focus on. Or there's some coaches that go, you know what, hey, I'm a defensive-minded coach. I'm going to let the offense coordinator do his thing. But I told you, I've seen plenty of coaches like that. They let their ego get in their way.
Well, Wiggy, now the Texans, they have a guy that thinks he can be a life coach and a general manager in Jack Easterby. So I guess things are on the up and up there with the Texans. Hey, do you think there's any chance Brady would go to the ownership group and say, we got to get rid of this guy?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Brady would do that. I would think it's one of those things where if you're Tom Brady, I would think about realistically doing that because, you know, you don't have much football left and you don't want to waste the little bit that you have left playing for a guy where you know you're going to be one and done in the playoffs. And all of that was for what? For nothing. So, I mean, I think it's at that point where you got to say, you know what, it's got to be about you, Tom, and you got to try to get as much as you can out of this football team. And if that means it's time for them to move on from Bruce Arians as a coach, and maybe Byron Leftwich will be a little bit more, conducive to saying, hey, Tom, run the offense that you want. Maybe that's what needs to be done is time for them to move on from Bruce Arians. And maybe Brady has to be the guy that goes and tells ownership to make that move.
Well, that's a great point, Wiggy, the fact that if you think about it, he's wasting his 43-year-old season. He is wasting it because he's playing for a guy that's basically a carbon copy for a dude that's playing a football coach in a movie. That's what he is. I mean, he looks like a movie character out there trying to coach a football team. He's wasting his 43-year-old season. I mean, this could be his last best chance to win a Super Bowl, and he's playing for a complete clown. So if I'm Tom Brady, and that'd be a nice life, but maybe somebody close to him could be like, get the guy the hell out of here or else this isn't going to work. And maybe an ugly loss to the Chiefs, like a loss by 3 touchdowns or 17 points, maybe that could be the trigger to get rid of Arians and say, okay, this isn't working. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. Let's get to Matt. He's in Rhode Island. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, good evening, guys. This is a nice little mashup you guys are doing tonight.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I did call about Cam Newton, but can I just say about Bruce Arians? I don't know if you heard the Teddy Bruschi interview with OMF, but I think he just said it perfectly. He's like, some of our past old teams would be licking our chops to play a team like Tampa Bay because they're so predictable, right? I mean, this is mic drop.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to agree with you. Yeah,
predictable. So, I was saying with Cam Newton, I watched Deshaun Watson against the Pats and again yesterday. I think he's one of the best in the league at, like, leading his receiver or, you know, throwing to a spot. I really like to see Cam, you know, step up into the pocket and just deliver, you know, a confident throw and, you know, hit that receiver in stride. I really only been frustrated with him really bad like one time, and I was in Buffalo, but, you know, these things happen. The very next game against Baltimore, he ran the same play. He switched the ball right into his left arm. I mean, the guy's coachable. The guy's a leader. And to you guys, to your point, I would like to see him draft. I'm thinking Trey Lance. And I think there's no better bridge guy, and there's no better guy to take under his wing than Cam Newton. Deshaun Johnson just lastly said, you know, he's been knowing Cam since he's been in high school,
right.
And Cam's like every time he's contacted Cam, like Cam gets back to him, and Cam's a really good guy like that. Like I think he wants to share his knowledge, and I think he would do a great job in that. Thanks,
right.
guys.
I appreciate the call, Matt.
I agree with that. I don't know if they have enough to get up to Trey Lance or dependent. Who knows? Maybe Trey Lance falls a little bit more because he's not playing this year. But I would think the thing about Deshaun Watson, like, and I mean, just look at last week's game, right? And I know we've been a real critical of Cam Newton. But think of who Deshaun Watson has to throw to. Will Fuller.
Free agent, by the way, Wiggy.
Right. Will Fuller, Stills, Randall Cobb. And then who was the other wide receiver?
Brandon Cooks.
I mean, those are his four wide receivers. Plus, you factor in that at least they had a couple tight ends that they actually look like they could do something. We know that the kid Fells, the kid Akins had a good game. I mean, that's what Deshaun Watson has to throw to. So, I mean, even though we've been critical of Cam and we've seen, like, Jacoby Myers come on out of nowhere or Damaire Byrd, think about the talent that these other teams, like, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. Look who Kyler Murray's going to get to throw to versus who Cam Newton is going to have to throw to. And I'm not taking knocking Myers and I'm not knocking Byrd, but they're not on the same level as DeAndre Hopkins. They're not even on the same level as Will Fuller and Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills.
Yeah. The one thing I will say, though, is in terms of he's pointing out the fact like Cam stepping up in the pocket and whatnot and comparing him to Deshaun Watson. The one thing I see with Deshaun Watson, and by the way, just quickly an aside on the Jordan Akins, who played last week against the Patriots. You mentioned at the beginning of the show today, Wiggy, how bad the Patriots defense was. Somehow they made that guy, who nobody ever heard of before the game the other day, they made him
five catches before the game.
They made him a combination of Tony Gonzalez and, like, Antonio Gates. I mean, that was terrible. They put, like, three different guys on him. McCourty, Duggar, none of them could cover them. But with cover him. But with Watson, one thing I'll say about Watson that's completely different from Cam Newton in terms of I don't think Cam can do this at this point in his career. I think he would have already made this adjustment. Watson throws the ball with anticipation. He's an anticipatory passer like Drew Brees is. Now, sometimes he gets outside and creates, but he throws it to spots. What I see with Cam Newton is he never throws the ball to spots, Wiggy.
Right, but you got to have confidence in the guys you're throwing to.
Yeah.
That they're going to be in that spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's part of it too,
When DeAndre Hopkins or Will Fuller run into a spot, you're pretty confident that the guy's going to be there versus, you know, some of the guys that Cam's throwing on.
Yeah, Isaiah Zuber.
Right, and that's, you know, but that's every quarterback. You think that Brady, you know, you think that, let's say, Aaron Rodgers would be confident to throw into Damaire Byrd versus throwing to Devontae Adams?
You know, he's kind of Brady-like. You notice that with him, Aaron Rodgers? I mean, he, like, only throws to Adams. It's kind of crazy.
Right. So, and I think so, you know, there are some got quarterbacks. It's a little bit easy, and I'm not saying that Cam would be able to do that with those guys, but that would be something that would run through his mind a little bit different, right? These guys can get open against coverage, and now you don't have to worry about, you know, maybe you're thrown into a spot and you feel confident that your guy's going to be there versus you want to make sure your guy's open before you throw it to a spot.
Yeah, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. If you want to weigh in on the Tom Brady situation as well, do you agree with me that they need to get rid of Arians right now, that Tom Brady should go up to the ownership and ask him to fire him right now? 617-779-7937. And we'll get you trending in just a second here.
The crafts call him the Godfather.
Glenn is the Godfather of sports talk radio.
Don't say that.
But we all know who the daddy is.
Mr. Kraft, I have to take a pee.
Ordway is on OMF.
All right, it's Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF today. If you want to join us, the number to do so, 617-779-7937. Wiggy, you know, one thing about Cam Newton is when he was in Carolina, his best weapon in terms of the passing game was Greg Olsen, right? I mean, you look at some of his numbers, over 1,000 yards, over 1,000 yards, over 1,000 yards, And this tight end situation, you could make an argument that it's the worst in the NFL. So if they just had a competent tight end, it could have helped Cam Newton a lot more. And the thing I would say, Wiggy, is this one is 100% on Belichick. Now, I know he addressed it this year in the draft with Asiasi and Dalton Keene, although we've seen next to none of those guys because they've been injured. You haven't had a reception out of Asiasi. They've been dealing with injuries. I like the fact that he finally addressed it. But this is something, this is a position that he should have addressed before this point, because after the Eagles Super Bowl, Gronk was hinting at retirement. Remember that whole thing where he was asked by a reporter, are you going to retire? And he said, where did you get that?
Right.
And then it took him forever. Remember, he's doing the whole motocross thing at Foxborough. It took him forever to actually say that he was coming back. And then Belichick had that whole trade set up with the Detroit Lions. This is a position that he should have been, especially the retirement stuff and the injury stuff with Gronk, he should have already been putting resources into the tight end position before this past offseason. And the year before that, he goes after Ben Watson, who was the tight end before Gronk. It just doesn't make any sense that he didn't address this sooner.
Yeah, and a lot of the issues that, you know, when you, especially this offense, when you start to think about, when we think about this offense, we think about this passing game, right?
Yeah.
A lot of these issues have been clearly because of some of the, because of Bill not addressing key positions, you know, the tight end position. I understand he drafted two guys that this past season, but they panned out and gave you nothing. He didn't do anything in free agency. He didn't go out and get a guy there. The wide receiver core, right? You know, when you think about that, what real big move did they make there? I mean, you knew Julian Edelman was getting older and older and older. And, you know, it looked like N'Keal Harry, you just didn't look like he was going to be the guy. And, to me, I think it's about bringing in guys via free agency that you know can come in and you know what you're getting from these type of players. You know what I mean? And I think that's where he's missed the ball here in past, in, you know, in some recent years in the passing offense. He hasn't brought in guys where you could go, okay, I know what I'm getting. He's brought in guys that, like, you know, Demare Byrds or some of these other guys where you're like, who knows what they could be. But he hasn't brought in the guy where you go, okay, all right, I know what this player is. I know what this tight end is. And I think that's something that he has to really change and has to do this offseason if he wants to get this team back to having a competitive passing game that will make them a contender.
Yeah, and it's killed him for 2 years now, Wiggy, because if you go back to the 2019 season, one of the best passes that Brady makes is that seam route, right, to Gronk. We've seen that all the time. A little play action, he throws it down the middle of the field to Gronk, and Gronk mm-hmm. always seemed to come down with it. And Cam Newton, going back to his days in Carolina, he would have play action, throw the ball down the seam to Greg Olsen. So your two quarterbacks the past 2 years, that's arguably the best ball that both of them throw, and now that's completely out of the game plan because you don't have the talent at the tight end position to be able to let them make that play.
Well, and some of guys like that I'm thinking about, people probably be like, well, what kind of guys are we talking about here? Like, there was a free agent. Eric Ebron was a free agent, I believe, this season. He signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
But there are guys like that when you look and you go, okay, these guys could come in. You knew that they were professional NFL caliber tight ends. They could come in, catch 40, 50, 60 balls. They've proven that they could do that before. And I don't think that they did that. Well, clearly they didn't do that. But those were the issues that they didn't address. And that, to me, is the most important thing. Because when you're drafting two guys in the third round, it's always a roll of the dice.
Right.
But if you're drafting two guys in the third round and you got a guy like Eric Ebron, now you can go, okay, if those young kids don't pan out, we know we got a solid veteran that can make plays in the passing game for us. And that's something that Bill has to do a better job of this offseason. And it's got to start with the tight end position and the wide receiver position. And there are plenty of guys out there that they can go out and get.
Yeah, Hunter Henry's a free agent as well. It's just so perplexing to me because it's been such a big part of the dynasty for the past 10 years with Rob Gronkowski, that tight end position, and you just did nothing to address it whatsoever. Even in 16, when Gronk goes down with the injury, you still win the Super Bowl because you got a guy like Martellus Bennett that had a
right.
great season. Let's get to Housey's in Dorchester. What's up, House?
Okay, so here's the thing, right? With Brady, right? Let me just get to Brady first.
Sure.
With Brady, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brady is getting – let me premise this first. Wiggy, you know Brady's my favorite quarterback. I've been
right.
calling, you know this.
Yep.
But Brady is getting exactly what he deserves. He's getting everything he asked for. You do understand what I'm trying to say? He wanted a Lamborghini. He got a Lamborghini. He got all the toys he needs. Okay? So He's getting everything he asked for. And trust me, in my opinion of Brady, of watching him this last 20 years and knowing 23 and knowing him, you know, it's like, and I mean not knowing him, but it's like Brady doesn't even, I don't think he wants to deal with Arians, like y'all saying. I don't think he wants to deal with Bruce Arians. And as far as Belichick, I want to ask you something, Wiggy. When the defense, does the defense ever look at an opposing offense and say, well, we don't respect none of them players, so we don't have to, you know, we don't have to go as hard at this guy or this guy or this guy? Because I don't think no team respects the Patriots offense or defense. So, you know, it's like a Pop Warner team, but not like a Pop Warner team, if I'm saying it right.
No, I know what you're saying. There are teams that don't respect the other teams because they just don't have the personnel, right? They don't, you know, like the wide receiver core for the Patriots, they don't scare any defense. Like Tampa Bay's.
They don't fear, so,
right. Like Tampa Bay's offense scares defenses.
Exactly. Like, so they're quick to say, okay, they'll put somebody on them. Okay, play one-on-one. Y'all play one-on-one. They're not worried about them. So, and then, you know, Cam doesn't have that Edelman that Brady had, that sure thing for them, like 10 yards, or that, you know, he do have James White, but James White's been out. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
It's like Cam hasn't had the chance to mature in this system. But he is getting better every week. I don't know if y'all see it, but I see it. He's getting better every week. The defense, I don't know. I want to say they get certain people on the defense is getting better every week. And it's just mind-boggling to me how people don't see this. Like, if you put Cam on Tampa Bay, it'll be totally different. If you put Brady back with this team, I think I'll give him about 2 more games.
Yeah, because House, he would have won some of those. House, he would have won some of the close games at the end, right? Because Cam's 1-4 when he has the ball in his hands at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. He would have won some of the close ones,
right? But he still wouldn't have the talent that he has
that's
in Tampa
fair.
Bay, and I think that's a realistic argument that Cam has to deal with, you know, and that's on Belichick. Belichick didn't address the tight end position, and he didn't address the wide receiver position with you know probably bringing in guys that could be instantly can contribute and help out. So that's why I think this offseason is going to be critical. And that's why I think if Cam had the pieces around them, they would be a contender. Would they win the Super Bowl? I don't think so, but they would be a playoff contender. And I think Cam would be doing better because he is on the rise. He is, you know, week in and week out, it looks like he's playing a lot better. And so I think if he had more pieces to you know, take advantage of, you know, guys that can just go line up there one-on-one and go, hey, I'm going to win here. Don't worry about it. And get me to football. If he had a couple of those guys, I think that you would see him, you know, he would be doing a lot better. So, I mean,
yeah,
hopefully that's something Bill will be able to address this offseason.
Yeah, I just think Brady wins a couple of these close games where Cam Newton has struggled. So I would say I'd agree with House that they'd be about 2 games better, but they would not be, to his main point, they would not be like a Super Bowl caliber team or anything along those lines. One thing, though, Wiggy, that he mentioned about Tom Brady, where he said Brady got exactly what he asked for. This is what I'll say to that is, so I've said on multiple occasions he should kneecap Bruce Arians, get rid of Bruce Arians. He's a clown. He's not running a Brady offense. He's running the Bruce Arians offense. But I'm wondering this, Wiggy, is Tom Brady went there knowing what Bruce Arians' system was, right? So does some of that go on Tom Brady? Was part of Tom Brady's thought process is, oh, people don't think I can throw the deep ball. And Tom's always been about proving people wrong. Was part of his decision-making process is he felt like, oh, I actually can thrive in Bruce Arians' offense, which obviously – it made no sense for him to fit into that offense. I thought Bruce Arians would cater more to the player. Maybe it's just I didn't know enough about Bruce Arians and how stubborn he was. But does some of that go on, Tom, for making the decision to play for Arians?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, that definitely goes on, you know, on Tom for making that decision. But I also think that, you know, that's the crazy part about it, right? When you think that, you know, like, all right, the grass is going to be greener on the other side, you really don't know, okay, it might be, but how's our relationship, right?
Right.
So maybe I got a lot more pieces. I got a lot more weapons to deal with. But what's my relationship like with Bruce Arians, you know? And you're starting to see how we calling this offense. What type of offense are we running? There's, you know, he has the nice shiny toys and, you know, the Ferraris and all this. But it's how that stuff is being utilized, right? And I think that's something that you never know what's going to happen as a player until you get into that relationship with the person. And, you know, maybe, yeah, did he want to, you know, prove people wrong? But I still think that he probably thought things were going to be different. And, you know, and now this is what you're seeing. And I think, you know, there's got to be a little bit of, you know, I don't want to say Brady's completely biased remorse or like, you know, regretting his decision. But I definitely think he's like, you know, well, this, we're not working the way I thought we were going to work together.
Yeah, that's fair. And look, if it was Brady's thought process before that he felt he could thrive in this offense, obviously by now he's realizing it's not working out for him. That's why they got to move on from Bruce Arians if they're going to have any chance to make this succeed with Tom Brady long term. But I have to imagine part of Brady right now is like all the little crap that I didn't have to worry about in New England, I got to worry about that now. And the number one thing that I took away from the Bruce Arians whole back and forth with Brady since he started there is I knew things were going to be bad after week one when Bruce Arians said he hopes that Tom can show more grit and determination in practice. This guy's a six-round pick. He's the living embodiment of grit. And you're telling me that Tom Brady needs to show more grit at practice? Right. I mean, that was asinine, Wiggy.
Yeah, and that's and I think Brady's probably regretting not going there, but I bet he's probably like, man, you know, I wish I would have called, picked up the phone and reached out to more players that played for Bruce Arians and really got the skinny on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what he's seeing now is like, oof, you know, this guy's different than what I'm used to. And even though Bill and I, we might have bumped heads a little bit and, you know, we didn't see eye to eye on certain things, you know, I'd much rather deal with the way Belichick was as a head coach versus the way Bruce Arians is.
Yeah, at least Belichick doesn't call him out of it. Belichick said, we got to coach it better. We got to play better, right? He's not pointing out the quarterback's flaws, which Bruce right. Arians does. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Wiggy with you. We're with you until 7 o'clock. If you want to weigh in on the Patriots game coming up on Sunday against the Cardinals, you can. Do you give them a chance to win? Do you want Cam Newton back in 2021? Plus, one other thing that looks really bad for Tom Brady right now. We'll get to that in just a little bit here on WEI.
Dial 617-779-7937.
Glenn, I got to be honest with you. You sound less and less intelligent every moment that goes
on. Let him finish. Let's hear.
It's OMF on EEI.
All right, Brian Barrett and Wiggy in for the guys on OMF. Hey, Wiggy, one thing I was looking at, if you go back to the teams that were at least linked or interested in Tom Brady this offseason, we had the Titans, but it was more Brady than them. You kind of felt like Vrabel was doing him a favor. We heard the Raiders. We heard the Chargers. Obviously, the Buccaneers, he ends up going there. And we heard the Niners. Out of those teams, I would say the only team that would regret its decision would be the San Francisco 49ers because Jimmy Garoppolo is hurt. And when he's been on the field this year, he's sucked. If you look at the Chargers, I mean, they made out like crazy. They have their future quarterback for the next 15 years in Herbert. Derek Carr is playing the best football of his career. And that Raiders team is, in all likelihood, going to wind up in the postseason unless they have some crazy collapse. With the Titans, Tannehill's had a decent season. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he's played pretty well. That team's probably going to the playoffs. So out of all those teams that were interested in Brady, the only one that really regrets its decision would be San Francisco.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is probably because of, I don't know if they necessarily regret it because they probably look at all the injuries that they had.
That's
because
a good point.
Even if they had signed Brady and he's healthy, I mean, think about all the injuries that they've dealt with as a, especially as an offense, your tight end, couple wide receivers, your running back. So I don't think they're probably looking at that and going, oh man, if we only had Brady, I think they'd probably still be looking at, well, if we had Brady, we'd still have all these issues that we'd be dealing with. But I think that the only team, you know, I don't think there's the only team that, and I don't even think they would regret their decision. I know there was a little bit of possibility with New Orleans as well, but I don't think New Orleans is regretting it in any way. But I agree with you. I don't think there's really any team that's regretting their decision not to go, you know, with Tom Brady.
Yeah, speaking of San Francisco, with Jimmy Garoppolo, they can get out of that contract easy. Now, you and I have both said today that we would rather just keep Cam Newton as the bridge guy and draft somebody in the first round, one of the young kids, Zach Wilson, whoever Belichick likes the most. Wiggy, would not want any part of Jimmy Garoppolo. Quite frankly, I think the guy's overrated. I think he sucks. I mean, I think we saw Kyle Shanahan. You want to criticize, not you personally, but if anybody wants to criticize his clock management, fine. But we saw last year in the postseason that he didn't trust the player. And they were at least entertaining bringing in Tom Brady, who was going to be 43, and Garoppolo was going into his 28-year-old season. Kyle Shanahan clearly doesn't think Jimmy Garoppolo's a good player. If it's me, I don't think Bill Belichick is going to be so arrogant because he drafted him in 14 and think, oh, I can get the player I thought he was going to be. I think we just have to acknowledge he's just not very good.
Right, and I think the problem with him, I think the problem when you look at Jimmy G is his biggest thing is he can't stay healthy. Right. And then when he is healthy, you know, it's they don't throw the ball, you know, relatively deep down the field with him. I think at times he looks like he has good games, but other times he doesn't look like he, you know, he's particularly, you know, accurate. So I think the thing is when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, the biggest thing, concern I would have with him is he can't stay healthy.
Yeah. And he threw it 8 times in the NFC Championship game, Wiggy. 8.
Right.
Unreal. Let's get to Joey's in Maine. What's up, Joe?
I stole my thunder from early on, but I was watching the Nebraska game. Oh, by the way, thanks for going to work, you guys, this afternoon. It's great relief on a bizarre Friday is what it is.
Sure.
But I was just looking at the tight end scheme and was wondering, as you guys had mentioned, if they shouldn't just go back to the beginning. Maybe the quarterback isn't what they need right away. If Cam were to be extended, which some people do talk about, and one of his strong points is indeed throwing to the tight end. Mm-hmm. I watched a couple guys in playing for Nebraska today that one transferred from Rutgers of all places that would be viable in terms of working their way into what the Patriots offense might have been, let's call it 10 years ago. And then starting because they have a great backfield. The offensive line clearly has potential. Regardless of, you know, once they dump some salary, they've got some great people, young people, in the queue, so to speak. And, you know, the defense could come together if they could just get the short game in place and leave the wide receiver position alone for now. Because
Joe, you want to leave the wide receiver position alone? Who are you banking on for the 2021 season? Who's your number one receiver entering 2021?
Who were the wide receivers when Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski were playing together?
Wes Welker at the beginning, then it morphed into Julian Edelman.
But that's a slot. No, that's a slot receiver. I'm talking about the outside.
So your hope is that the tight ends they have now, and if you draft another tight end, they're so good that you don't need receivers. I mean, I feel like you're living in this fantasy land.
So good, but it would fit better with a bridge quarterback, which Cam Newton seems to be.
Okay, yeah, Joe, I appreciate the call. It's an interesting theory. It's one to me that, in principle, I guess you can convince yourself of it, but it makes no sense practically. First of all, you're going to find the next Rob Gronkowski and the next Aaron Hernandez, who was really good at the beginning of his career before, of course, we all know what happened. Gronk is arguably the most dominant tight end of all time. I just don't see how that's practical. And, Wiggy, I don't see Belichick, after drafting 2 in the 3rd round, drafting another tight end with a high draft pick this year. I mean, obviously, the kid that you'd want is the guy out of Florida, Kyle Pitts. He's incredible, but he's not going to use a first or a second round pick on a tight end after just drafting 2 this past season. And to just say, oh, you can build around the tight ends, you don't have any established tight ends. What the hell is he talking about? So you need receivers. Who's your number one and number two entering 2021? Who are your number one and number two receivers? You don't have them.
Right. And I think that there are plenty of guys out there in free agency that you can go after and get wide receiver-wise. There's a bunch of guys that would be valuable pieces that can come in, and you know what you're getting right away. I mean, we just talked about a couple of them, I mean, whether it's, you know, Kenny Galladay, whether it's Juju Smith-Schuster, whether it's Allen Robinson. So, I mean, I think there's a number of guys that if you really wanted to, you know, make a move out some guys, you can go out and do that. You could probably find a free agent and tight end. And then, you know, now you got some action.
And, Wiggy, it's much more difficult to find good tight ends than it is to find good receivers.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult. You know. And
how many great tight ends are there in the league right now, in your mind? Darren Waller, Kelsey, and Kittle, how many other guys are there?
Right, yeah, and I would say, you know.
Mark Andrews is good. Hunter Henry's good. But, I mean, it's not like you got 20 of them.
Right, they're not all over the place. They're not like wide receivers.
Let's get to Ryan. He's in New Hampshire. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, let's call, guys. Wiggy, this one's for you. I'm looking for some expert analysis.
Is it
possible to salvage the N'Keal Harry pick by converting him into a tight end with his willingness to block and a little bit of size right now? Obviously, you have to add a little more.
I don't know. It's so, you know, because you got to be able to put his hand in the dirt and you got to put him on the end of the line of scrimmage, and I think he'd be a fish out of water there. I know he's like 225. But he would really be a fish out of water. That's something that he, you know, I mean, if guys like Izzo are struggling to block, can you imagine N'Keal Harry trying to block J.J. Watt?
Well, I'm watching him struggle on the outside right now, and I'm hoping we can save the pick.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, that one, I think they missed on that one. Yeah, I
don't appreciate the call, Ryan.
Wide receiver has been converted to a tight end that had worked out.
Yeah, you got to take the L. You just got to take the L on N'Keal Harry. I think Darren Waller, Wiggy, when he first came into the league,
because when he was at Baltimore, he was there as a tight end.
Yeah, but last week, Wiggy, to your point about can he block or not, right? He got called for two penalties last week for holding, didn't he? N'Keal Harry blocking.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he's going to be able to morph into a tight end. Although, you know what? I'll say this, Wiggy. In his defense, that's a better suggestion than building your team around the tight ends you have and not worrying about the receiver position. I would say that.
Right.
Unreal. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett and Wiggy with you for another hour. Do you want Cam Newton back in 2021? Would you entertain Jimmy Garoppolo? Do you want the Patriots to draft a quarterback in the first round? And what's going on with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians? All that on the table at 617-779-7937 here on WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.